Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Super House of Dead Ninjas and Battle Block Theater.
Mm-hmm. And let's get started with Super House of Dead Ninjas. Nick,
yeah,
tell us a little bit about Super House of Dead Ninjas.
So Super House of Dead Ninjas.
Super House. Super House. Super House.
So it's a roguelike inspired platformer. It was released by Adult Swim Games. It started out as a Flash game on their website, and then they came out with a Steam edition that had more of everything, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That was in February 18th of 2013.
Yeah, it's taking this long line of games that take some inspiration from from Rogue and do something with it, but it couldn't feel, we've done a Rogue platformer, like we did Rogue Legacy before, but it feels very different than that. And it has a little bit more in common, I felt, with something like a little bit with Isaac.
Yeah.
In that, like, you're doing esoteric things to unlock, weapons and stuff. So, like, in Isaac, you kill 20 of this thing and it unlocks this item that you have a chance of getting. In Super House of Dead Ninjas, you do this thing 20 times and you unlock this weapon you can choose at any time.
Right.
So it's kind of a little bit of a mix between Rogue Legacy and Isaac.
Yeah, it fits a neat middle ground. And instead of, it's obviously very Castlevania inspired, but it takes a more like speedrunny, do everything fast, and it's super linear compared to Rogue Legacy's much
more
closer,
exploration based.
Yeah, much closer to Castlevania's exploration in that game.
Your kind of field of play is not room based. Like, you're always moving, so you're never in the same place for too long.
Yeah.
Because you move really quickly in kind of all sense of the word. Like, you dash very quickly. You have a very, like, satisfying double jump. You can wall jump. You're very, like, mechanically, like, pleasing.
Yeah, you're agile to all hell.
Yeah. Which is part of it, it wants you to feel like a ninja. And you have, like, every game now, like, narrators are the new crafting, like, system for indie games. you have a narrator commenting on what you do, not constantly, but from time to time. And when you do specifically, that's true. And I guess that's as old as, like, Mortal Kombat and stuff.
Right, exactly. He's just giving you a little bit of toasty every now and then.
Yeah, he's telling you when you do a combo breaker. When you do a kind of a narrow miss or something like that, like, he'll compliment you.
Yeah, yeah.
And on your ninja skills.
Or make fun of you when you die.
Yep. Yeah. And it's really, I like it a lot. It's very hard, but like a Isaac or, one of these games, like, you are not meant to, sit down and beat it in one go. Like, you have to unlock things and get more powerful and know the system.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just, it feels a little bit almost like a Meat Boy too. You don't jump quite as high, but like the just kind of really good feel and fast movement.
Yeah.
Feels a little Meat Boy-y too.
Especially considering that it is Flash-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's like super solid for that. I don't think I've ever had a Flash game feel this fast and fluid in its movement and frame rate.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it just runs super smooth. And like, I love how zoomed out the action is. So when you get into the zone, you are kind of start planning your moves ahead because you're keeping an eye on, you're always descending.
Yeah, you're always moving down. So
and that's the fastest way to move. Like, there are lots of areas that you can just fall.
Yeah.
Down.
Find really good flows in level layouts really quickly once you adjust to how the game plays.
And the game encourages that too. So if you kill enough enemies without getting hit yourself, you go into rage mode and you become invincible and do more damage. And you can keep that going just by continuing the streak. So it's got a little bit of that kind of like scoring mechanic of keeping this rage mode going, but it just makes you move faster and feel more fluid.
And it feels so good.
Yeah.
They just streamline through a huge chunk of the level.
Yep.
Chopping everyone's heads off in your wake.
Yeah. I watched, before we started recording, I watched a speed run and it was 5 minutes for the whole game.
Awesome.
Which is crazy. And it's just very impressive to watch because he's obviously got a lot of high level stuff unlocked, but it is just, poetry. Like, he just literally just cuts a swath through the thing. And like, it just looks super, super badass.
That's awesome. I wish I had thought of that.
Yeah. It's very cool. I like it a lot. I haven't unlocked everything yet. I got up to the end boss, which is this huge demon, and I did not have enough lives left to make a serious go against him.
Yeah, I've only gotten to the third boss, I believe.
Yeah, the third boss
did not
is hard.
Beat him. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think I got through that just kind of spamming magic.
Yeah, I only have two, so
yeah,
that was not easy. I do like this though. It does have a Wikipedia page, so for all my references, I have the Steam page up. And one and the most popular user-defined tag is procedural death labyrinth.
Right.
I think that's pretty accurate.
That is pretty accurate. Yeah, death comes quick. Like, it's not one-hit kills, but it is. You are pretty fragile. And but you, yeah, I mean, I always felt like it was my fault. You know, like everything moves quick, but I know what's coming. For the most part, and like the one, if I was going to criticize it, and when you get a little later in the game, that feels less true. Like there are more things that kind of feel like gotcha traps,
right?
And you can see them coming, but something we didn't mention is that there's a time limit, constantly counting down, and if you get down to the last 10 seconds, death kind of comes out and will stalk you, and you can get these kind of time bonuses,
yeah,
to recharge your time. So you really have to be. Everything about the game is about speed, you know, and keeping moving. So some of those little tells for traps later on are very hard to notice when you're just rushing through as quick as you possibly can.
Yeah, and when you're in a new area especially, you're going to run into a whole bunch of sort of gotchas because you don't know the enemies of the floor you're on.
Yeah, yep. Traps or environment or anything.
Yeah,
but very, very cool. I like it a lot, and it's always super cheap on Steam. And yep. if you like a randomly generated action game like that.
If you didn't get it in the summer sale that is going to have just ended when we publish this, I'm sorry.
yeah. get it next time.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's always on sale. So,
Yeah, I think that's probably about wraps it up for Super House of Dead Ninjas.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Battle Block Theater, which Battle Block Theater is a Behemoth game. Behemoth known for Castle Crashers and Alien Hominid before this.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out on Xbox Live Arcade in April 3rd of 2013, but didn't come to Steam until May 15th of 2014.
Yeah, and this is something similar to Transistor, where me and Nick have seen this and kind of previewed it at PAX like 1,000 times. Like, I feel like they've kind of had this. This is their setup.
I bought a skateboard deck featuring Hattie, mm-hmm. and I've been skating on that for the past year or so. So, yeah, we were really excited for this game before it ever even came out. But when it came to Steam, it added some more features, online play, and more heads and stuff to unlock, which we'll get into in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a platformer, a puzzle platformer essentially. That its main sort of feature is that it's co-op focused. Playing with multiple people, you get, I believe, actually a different level layout for each of the levels that requires you to work together in tandem in order to progress through the level and find all of your gems.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it is significantly better co-op too.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's fun to play like on your own, but it's not nearly as fun.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a decent game all around, but it's very simple and definitely emphasizes the co-op play.
Mm-hmm.
So Gary, what do you besides the base mechanics to it, what do you like about Battle Block Theater?
Like playing it one player, like it was mildly fun, but I'm a little bit, you know, a little bit tired of puzzle platformers. But mm-hmm. when you play it two player, like we played before we recorded, and I meant to get you know, Derek, who tends to be like, we'll play this again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll get Derek to pick it up too and see if he wants to join in, because there's a weird like little, since you're, everyone's going to accomplish the same goals, like you're all trying to get these gems and it's non-competitive. What was really fun playing at co-op was just kind of trusting or knowing the other person was going to go over to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you've got this, I'm going to move on to this. And you're kind of working together without talking.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, it's so different than, say, like, Portal 2, where you're like, you have to stop and plan with the person. Like, this is just very intuitive.
Especially since the mechanics are so, you know, basic platformer. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's familiar with video games is going to be able to jump right into it. And then just adding that co-op puzzle element on top of it means that, you know, you and I just both got right into a flow and had a, you know, we weren't quite time trialing the levels just yet, but still beating them the first time through. And like you said, being able to accomplish everything without having to communicate overly.
And it does a lot of things that co-op games, you know, like dodges and pitfalls, not least of which is that there's no penalty for dying.
Yes.
Which is great, because that was one of the things, like, I like this company, but this is my favorite game by them. And I like Castle Crashers. Like, it is fun to play through, but I also got a little bored by the end of it, and then also got frustrated a few times in Castle Crashers on some of the bosses and stuff. Like, the aesthetic and everything is still wonderful, and it's going to be great in all their games. But this is the one that I think I like the best to play.
Yeah, I agree. Castle Crashers, it is really fun, but the thing is, it kind of tried to emphasize replayability and didn't quite have it.
Yeah.
Like, you unlock characters, different castle or different crashers and stuff as you're playing, and then like playing with the new one you unlocked can unlock another one, and it's just like this. They tried to do this iterative thing on top of it, but I enjoyed it my first couple times playing it. I didn't enjoy it enough to like try and unlock everything.
Yeah.
This one, you know, all the fun unlockables to get more of Paladin's art, which is fucking always amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just by playing the game and heading to the shop, you can buy yourself new decorative heads and more weapons and stuff. So,
and you can stay as the same character. Like, you don't have an experience system.
Yeah.
You know, that's based on it. So you don't have to worry about that. Like, I remember being at certain parts in Castle Crashers, like being tempted to grind to afford weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want.
No.
You know, from anything really. You know what this game is a little bit like? Did you ever play on Xbox Live? Did you ever play Rascals?
No, I didn't.
Rascals is a little bit like this.
Is it?
There's a little bit more of an emphasis on like Rascals, you're racing. But it has this very similar aesthetics and kind of similar mechanics, and you're always kind of racing, like you are racing another person.
Oh, okay.
Through levels like this. But that's what this kind of reminds me of. I was racking my brain for what the name of that game was. I just looked it up on Wikipedia, and then that is the game. But if you take a look at that, like it looks a little bit like this and plays a little bit like this. It's not quite as puzzly, but
it was reminding me of, which this also isn't as puzzly, but it was reminding me of the NES Chippendales game, or
yeah,
Chippendale Rescue Rangers, because you can like mess each other up and accidentally throw each other into pits and stuff too.
Yeah.
So
that lack of penalty for death makes it
so good.
Not infuriating.
Exactly.
Which
we
is wonderful.
Laugh at each other, which is
yeah. It's just funny, and things happen accidentally because everyone's trying to do. Like, I can only imagine it gets more so in four player, you know, where everyone's trying to do something.
Is this four player? It is.
Yeah,
it's one to four players.
Yeah,
yeah, that must be hectic as all hell.
Yeah, it might get like too hectic.
Maybe
like it might be you know you can't actually accomplish your goals, especially like instead of boss fights, this game has time trial levels that are pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not just to get to the end, but if you're trying to get all the gems.
Which of course we are.
Yeah, because why not? And you use the gems to unlock, you know, things for your guys.
Yeah. I want more hats. More heads.
Yeah. It's cute as a button. Like, yep. It's super, super cute.
It's got, it's got the, a narrator who, voiced by Will Stamper. I know he's known for something else, but I can't remember what it is. But he's just, like, goofball, narrating everything. Pretty, pretty funny on its own. But on top of the sort of real hectic gameplay, it's a good combination. He's, you know, making fun of you for dying in locations and stuff. So.
There's a little bit less of, like, in Castle Crashers, there's a little bit, like, poop humor
going on,
and there's a little bit less
of
that here. There's still some, but not quite as much.
A little less juvenile.
Yeah. I'm looking at his IMDb thing right now, and it looks like it's mostly it's mostly this company's games that he's
done. I want to say it's like some YouTube video or something that he's famous for, but
yeah, he does have a YouTube channel and YouTube series.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so but yeah, and you I love every game that has this kind of that feature should have this, where you can actually not only turn off the narration, but choose the degree that you want it.
Yeah.
So if you're getting annoyed by it, because he does run out of things to say, you know, it's not Bastion.
Right.
So you can just have him just peep up every once in a while, or I think there's four different levels of articulation for that.
Nice.
Which is really impressive. Like, I want a 75% of the narrator, and, you know, your person you're playing with wants 50%.
Just a little bit less.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, so there is sort of a story to this that Gary and I, having only beat the first three worlds, haven't completely picked up on. Mm-hmm. But essentially, you at the start, you get the sort of intro video. You are on a ship with a bunch of friends, all of which have different heads, of course. And a storm strikes. Your best friend is this guy named Hattie, who is just a guy with a square head. He doesn't actually have a hat. But then you arrive on this island that is one big theater inhabited by these militant cats. Mm-hmm. And they take Hattie and they place this hat upon his head, and he becomes sort of some brainwashed conductor of this theater of which you and these puzzly death levels are the entertainment. And that's the story. So
And there's a little bit more to it. Like, and one of the things that's a little bit frustrating is, like, there are some things for how quick this game is, like, you can skip cinematics, but you can't, like, the end of level scoring thing, there's no way to speed that up. The beginning thing like that, and just covering load times, I imagine. But I really like especially when I was playing alone, it wasn't so much when I was playing with you, but when I was playing alone, I really want to just jam through that.
Right.
And get to the next level, and you can't quite. So there's a little bit of the, and the cinematics are a little bit long too. Like, they're cute and I like them, but the game is so kind of play-based that I would like the option to kind of shoot through a little quicker. But that's me reaching for things, because I think it's really fun.
Well, especially since the video comes right after a level where you're rushing through three levels in a row, and then you just kind of sit for 5 minutes and watch a video.
Yeah, they're
long. A little, like, weird timing.
Lengthy things. Like, they're funny, but also could use some editing.
Yeah.
You know? But big variety too. Variety is a huge part of this game. Like, every level or set of levels I played so far has introduced some kind of new mechanic, and then the you get all these different weapons that all behave in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's a real, like, kind of like has that toy box appeal to it that I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I believe there's also some other, like, game modes that we haven't looked into.
Mm-hmm.
The main storyline, it was plenty enough appeal to get the two of us to play together. So. There's that, but apparently there's some, the four player stuff especially is like, some mini games that you can play against each other with the base mechanics. So, there's probably a lot of fun to be had in those as well.
Well, and not least of which to say that there's a level editor.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And level sharing over Steam Workshop, which is something new they introduced the Steam Workshop.
And if you're going to have level editing, you need that.
Yes.
Like, that level editing on its own is not okay. Like, I don't want to just watch somebody YouTube their own level. Like, I want to, be able to have and I just don't want to be able to, like, go to a site and have someone publish them. Like, you need a community aggregator.
Yeah, with for that kind voting of thing. And popular downloads and all that. So,
yeah.
So also, just quickly, a shout out to Behemoth for getting me into their beta program and allowing me to play early, and then also giving me a full copy when it was completed. Which is not why we're reviewing it. Gary bought it, and we had a lot of fun with it, but also, big ups.
Yeah.
I always appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but also, we're into it.
Yep.
So yeah, super fun. Like, I'm going to play this as a really good, like, sit-down co-op, and I imagine it's amazing, like, couch co-op, too.
Yeah, no, it
like,
was.
Like, just sit down and...
I had a friend over last weekend, and we played through the first couple levels, and she's not as, video gamey as I actually like to play some games, but, like, she sat down and had no problem with it, and we had a lot of fun. So,
yeah. So, good work.
Good game. You should grab it. If you did grab it the last sale, I apologize.
Yeah, but it will be. Just wait a little while. It'll be on sale, and it's worth it anyway. There's a lot of meat to it, especially with that promise of downloadable levels. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of content to it, even in the base game. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. No spoiler section. We got everything we need to say. In this portion, so
yeah, there very well could be story things that happened in either of these games, but we didn't get to them.
So Gary, what's some admin stuff? How can they reach us?
Well, you can go to facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or duckfeed.tv/comrade. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Comrade Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes where you can rate and review us. But probably most importantly is tell somebody. About the show. If you like the show, give them a heads up, put it in a message board or a blog or what have you. That's very appreciated. And if you have suggestions, if you go to our website on duckfeed.tv, you can send them our way. And we are open to suggestions.
Yeah, always open to checking out new games. The indie field is so big and expansive at this point that a lot of gems kind of go undiscovered. So.
Yeah, I guarantee that we're missing things that are worth talking about.
Yeah, so. we're hitting a lot of the big stuff. With a little bit of smaller stuff here and there, but if you think there's something we'd really enjoy, send it our way and we'll check it out.
And we've kind of thrown this idea kind of back and forth, and Nick, you can cut this out if you don't recall us talking about this. I'm pretty sure that we did. Doing an episode where we take some things that we both own and kind of choosing randomly, picking some stuff like just kind of at random. I was also thinking about that might be fun with one of these like Indie Gala bundles. Like, I think there's one right now that's like pay what you want for 10 green light games.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of doing like we're gonna pick two of these things at random and have them not be. So, you know, the game, like the show, it isn't just constantly, cause we tend to pick stuff that we like. But I would like to get, you know, hammered into a corner and play some real garbage.
Sure. So, yeah. I'm all about it.
Yeah. I want to talk some shit. So,
if you like shitty games, keep listening to us.
Yeah. If you like that idea, let us know.
If you like it, let us know. And, that's probably something that will be coming up. Now there's kind of a lull in the huge AAA stuff as we wait for the big RPGs to come out.
And Isaac.
Yep. Oh, Isaac.
So,
yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.